Would you turn with me in your copy of the scriptures to the first letter of John, chapter 5. We've come in our studies in 1 John to verse 14 of chapter 5. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin that does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death, and I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for preserving this word to us, for stirring John to write. Thank you that your spirit is present, that we would see you more clearly, and that we would enjoy you more deeply this day. In Yeshua's name, amen. Last week, we came to verse 13, where John wrote to us, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." And we came to see that God wants us to be certain of our relationship with him, and that relationship is rooted in our trusting Yeshua and fully believing in all that he is, that he is fully God and fully man, that he is God in flesh, the Son of God. And John has written throughout this letter, helping us to see what God will do in our life in this relationship, that he has given us the gift of eternal life that leads to a relationship with him that is demonstrated by our righteous living, looking like Yeshua in the way we walk, that it is demonstrated by our love of the light, that it is demonstrated by love being produced in us, that it is demonstrated by our delight to do what he says, that it is demonstrated by the fact that we believe Yeshua is indeed God in flesh. And John then comes to this to say, you can know for certain that you have eternal life, and I want you to have that certainty based on the relationship you have with my Son. And then verse 14, it's as if John is kind of adding on to that closing comment to his letter. As a result of this gift of eternal life that you and I can be certain about through Yeshua, there is something that comes as a result of that, and that is confidence in our praying. As our brother Ellie and our brother Joel both highlighted to us today, in the sacrificial system in Leviticus, in all that Yeshua has restored to us, the picture there is that God wants to have an intimate love relationship with us. And he has taken every step that he can to remove every barrier to that being the reality in our lives. He wants us to be in fellowship with him. John wrote at the very beginning of this letter, in chapter 1, he said that this was his personal testimony. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, John is giving eyewitness testimony of his intimate and personal relationship with Yeshua. The life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us, this life in Yeshua, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. And why? That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua Mashiach. And these things we write to you, that our joy may be full, your joy, our joy. There is fullness of joy that comes as we enter into the depths of this fellowship with the Father through the Son. And we come, this relationship, this certain relationship, this certain gift of eternal life that we have, then leads us back to John 5, verse 14, confidence when we pray. This word confidence we have seen before in this letter. We saw this word in chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And then we saw this word again in chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And then we saw this word again in chapter 4, in verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness or confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So two times, John uses this word confidence relating to coming judgment, the fact that we can stand before God with confidence or with boldness. And two times, this place and in John, 1 John 3, John is talking about this confidence that we can have in prayer. That word confidence, as we have considered before, means boldness, fearlessness. It means freedom of speech. I was thinking back to what Shaul wrote in Romans. In the first parts of Romans, Shaul writes the indictment that God has against all humanity, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the conclusion in chapter 3, after Shaul writes of all of these ways that we have offended God and lived against him, he says that every mouth may be shut. A person who is guilty has nothing they can say before God. But a person who has been cleansed and set free and brought into relationship with God through Yeshua has freedom of speech. We can come with confidence before God because of what Yeshua has done. And now this is the confidence that we have in him. That word "in him" is really the same word as John wrote in his gospel. In John 1 and verse 1, the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Same word. And that means face to face with God, in intimate communion and intimate fellowship. God, through Yeshua, has made it possible for us to come confidently and boldly before his throne, that we may be face to face with him in an intimate and personal relationship. And not only that, but that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. As I was pondering and meditating on this, I thought, what an incredible gift this is that we have. That you and I can come face to face into the presence of the holy, righteous, almighty God of the universe, and that you and I can come confidently, boldly, with freedom of speech, and that we can ask him anything in this face-to-face fellowship. There is no way I know of to explain this in a way that will capture you or me. The only thing I can say is I declare it to you, and I say, brothers and sisters, enter into the blessing of this glorious fellowship. Enter into it day by day. Notice John writes that this is not just a carte blanche thing. We can talk to God about anything and everything. God is concerned about everything in our lives. But notice the qualifying statement, according to his will. What better thing is there in our lives, or in the lives of any human being, than for that person to know God personally and to walk in his will. Over and over and over, God has revealed that his will is good and pleasing and perfect. It is good. It is morally good. It is pleasing. It is tasty. It is delightful. And it is perfect. There is nothing better for us than the will of God. And other places in Scripture, John wrote in his gospel about these qualifying statements in prayer. He wrote on that last night that Yeshua was on the earth before he went to the crucifixion. And he said, "Most assuredly I say to you that he who believes in me," Yeshua is saying, "the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Another statement of the immensity of prayer. Anything. We can talk to God about anything. We can ask anything. The qualifying statement, in my name, consistent with the character of Yeshua. What would Yeshua be asking? And then Yeshua then goes further in the next chapter in John 15. John writes about Yeshua saying, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." What is the qualification? That we are at home in God. That God is our dwelling place. That we are abiding in him. That we are nestling down in him. We are at home in a relationship with him, and his word is abiding in us, at home in us. When that happens, it's like David wrote in Psalm 37, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." That God transforms us, that we can ask anything, and more as his children, what we will want, it is his will, the honor of his name, according to his word. We can ask. We can ask our Father. Yeshua called God Father, and more as it got closer to the time of his execution, he called God Father. When he taught us to pray, the one thing that the disciples asked Yeshua to teach them was how to pray. "Lord, teach us to pray." They overheard Yeshua praying. And they were so captured by the relationship that he was revealing with the Father that they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then he taught them, and we start out, "Our Father." Our Father. We can ask our Father for anything. And Yeshua pointed out the character of our Father, that our Father is better than any earthly father. And if an earthly father will not give you a rock when you ask him for a piece of bread, then how much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts? And in particular, the gift of him, his very self, the gift of his Spirit. You and I can ask God for anything according to his will. And then John writes, "And he hears us." That doesn't mean that God just hears the words. That means that God hears with the intent of answering us favorably. And there's also the implication here. Well, he writes in verse 15, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." For God to hear us means that we have, in praying according to his will, that we have already received what he has asked, what we have asked. There is sometimes a time gap. There is sometimes a time gap between us asking and knowing that God has answered and us receiving what we have asked for. You remember Daniel. Daniel was praying. He was prompted by the Lord to pray, to seek insight to the visions that he had received. And it says that he set himself to prayer, and he was praying and fasting for 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, the angel came and said, from the very first day, the answer was given. But there were 3 weeks of other things that were going on in the spirit realm that Daniel had no idea about. There was spiritual battle going on. But the answer came on the very first day of his prayer. That's such an encouragement to us. As you and I wait on God to fully manifest the answers to our prayers, it's easy for us to get discouraged and think, I must have done something wrong. Maybe I didn't pray right. Maybe God didn't even hear me. But what if God really did hear? And what if God really has answered? And what if the answer is on its way? Do you want to be ready for it? The best way to be ready for the answer is to keep on praying, keep on intimate fellowship with the Father. That we can know this God who is our Father, this God who wants us to come and pray. We know this God hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. I was thinking of that account of Shaul. So many pictures of Shaul's life help us. But at the end of the book of Acts, chapter 27, Shaul has been arrested. He's being tried. He's appealed to Caesar. And now he's on his way to Rome in a ship with other prisoners. And he gave some counsel to the owners of the ship and said, don't sail because it's too late in the season. And they ignored his advice. We'll pick up the story in verse 20. A great storm came, and they were trying to lighten the load. And then in verse 20, it says, now when neither sun of Acts 27, verse 20, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. All hope lost. It looked like at this point, everybody was dead. They were going to sink. They were going to drown. But in verse 21, but after long abstinence from food, then Shaul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. How did Shaul know that? Verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Shaul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Did the salvation come at that very moment? No. Did the full answer to that prayer instantly appear in that moment? No. Did Shaul know that God had heard and answered his prayer? Yes. Therefore, verse 25, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God, that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Do you see it? Shaul had gone to the prayer closet. Shaul was praying for rescue. And he prayed not only for his own rescue, but for all those in the boat with him. And God answered. From the moment that Shaul gave that prayer, God answered. And then the angel showed up. And then Shaul, at a strategic moment, shared that word with the whole ship. And then, in the days that followed, the rescue came. They found an island. The ship broke up. And according to the word of the Lord, everyone made it safely to land. And eventually, Shaul made it all the way to Rome and got to bore testimony to Yeshua before Caesar himself. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him because we have asked according to his will. We have asked filled with his word. We have asked confident that he is a good and loving Heavenly Father. And the glory of it is that God will answer according to his wisdom. That's why it's appropriate. It's not a cop-out to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Yeshua prayed that the cup would be removed, but in the end he said, Father, I want your will, more than anything. And God answered his prayer. He was strengthened to be enabled to go through that whole experience of giving his life for us, being crucified for us, shedding his blood as we have celebrated today. He was enabled to do that. And because he did that, as a consequence of that, God seated him at the right hand, at his right hand, that his name will be above every name, that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God delights in our prayers. Proverbs 15 says that he delights in the prayer of the upright. God delights in our prayers. And Shaul wrote in Romans 8, verse 32, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, graciously, abundantly give us all things?" That is the heart of our God. He says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Yeshua said, "I want you to pray always." He told a parable. He says, "I want you to pray always so that you will not lose heart and faint and give up." And then John continues in verses that we won't deal with very deeply, but just the fact that verses 16 and 17, he talks about intercession for others, that you and I have the glorious privilege of not only bringing our special petitions, personal petitions before the Father, but we bring our concerns for our family, our loved ones, those around us, for our world. And God will intervene and answer the glorious privilege of intercession. And so we come to see that you and I, when we are certain of eternal life, we are also certain of a relationship of prayer that is open to us, that opens the very windows of heaven as we come to our Heavenly Father. And he says this to us, as in Psalm 91, it's God speaking. Psalm 91 and verse 14, God speaking to David. He says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Brothers and sisters, let us give ourselves to prayer. Let's bow together. Father, thank you that you are the real and living God, that you are our Heavenly Father, that we can approach you freely because of Yeshua, and we always come to you in his name. And Father, thank you that you are teaching us to pray, that we would pray according to your word, according to your will, according to your character, which is the very best we could ever pray. And thank you that you will open to us the windows of heaven and the glories of your person as we as a congregation grow in this glorious relationship and privilege of praying with you. Thank you, Father, for being that kind of God who hears and who answers. May you manifest your glory in our midst more and more. And may the world know when they look at us as a congregation that what is going on here is beyond what can be explained in natural ways, because we are a people who bow before you and ask great things of you and call upon your name that you would show us great and unsearchable things. Thank you, Father, for this glorious privilege and for all that you will do and lead us into in Yeshua's name. Amen.